Hello, and welcome to Intuitive Nature, the podcast. My name is Susan Jane, and I believe that trusting your intuition is the best way to live your life with meaning and purpose. Each week, you will hear about how you can connect, develop, and trust your intuition through meditations, readings, and my own personal experiences. Join me to understand how your intuition can guide you towards a life full of meaning and loving purpose. Hello and welcome to Intuitive Nature, the podcast. I'm Susan Jane, the Intuitist, and I'll be your host for this Intuition and Spirituality series. And I have to say good morning because it's early in the morning, and this podcast is all about trusting your intuition when you're on shaky ground. Now, the reason why I am talking about this and it's early in the morning is because last night I had a dream and I'm going to talk to you about this. One of the things I have said, the three steps for your intuition is you're asking, receiving and responding. So asking is about your intention. Receiving is your interpretation, how you interpret the messages you receive. And responding is about the interactions you have once you have received and interpreted that message. So what happened last night was I had an intention. I wanted to do an early morning podcast, and so I put the intention out last night. So I went to bed saying, okay, I need a subject, I need to talk about something, give me some sort of an idea, give me something there that I can talk about to help somebody. So I put that intention out. I asked as I went to bed, that was what was going on in my mind. It was like, what can I do? What can I talk about? How can I help someone? What happened was I had a couple of dreams during the night, and this is where I've received this intuitive message and how I interpret it. So the interpretation that I had for it was, the first dream was when I was with my ex-husband, and we were living in a seaside town in Queensland. And what I noticed was, there was this big building being built, a new building, and I was talking to somebody, and I know where I was, and it was definitely there in this little seaside town. And this big building, which didn't make sense because it was a huge building, collapsed. Now, I know no one was hurt in it, but there was consequences to it. It meant the foundations weren't put down properly, or the building wasn't put together properly, and it just collapsed. So when I saw it, it was like, you know how you see that big outside frame and you've got maybe blue inside there and they're all in there working? Well, for some reason, it must have been the weekend, no one was working, and this whole building collapsed. And as I said, it was sort of an area from my past. That was one part. The next dream was about the present, because it was with my partner who I was with now. This man was coming to our house and my partner liked him, but I thought he was pretty, you know, all right. And so there was this emotional, he's coming. And so I remember going into the bedroom and getting changed, and my partner came in at the time, and you know, we started talking, and then I'm not really sure. We were just stayed together and everything was fine, and this guy just disappeared. So, you know what dreams are like, they just get a little bit erratic. But anyway, how I've interpreted is, because the first one was about my past, I saw the building. Now, I know buildings can be ourselves when we look at it in dreams and different things, but I saw the building in this particular interpretation, or in this particular dream, as our relationship, my past relationship. And my past relationship was built on dreams. It was built without that strong, sturdy base. It was built on mistrust, lies. I had a belief that this was what it was all about, when in reality it wasn't like that. So the relationship to start with was built on not a solid foundation. And when I watched it in the dream, it was, I know we weren't having an earthquake, but it almost felt like that. It almost felt like that this building fell down because of an earthquake, because of shaky ground. But it wasn't the physical shaky ground. It was that the attitude that we wasn't built, the relationship was not built correctly. It was built with fluff and nonsense. So that's how I saw that. And I went, okay, well, you know, that's where I see that shaky ground. The second part of it, because it was about now, there wasn't the physical structure that was falling apart or that was being shaken. It was more about the emotional aspect. Now, I'm in this relationship now. We are not married. And when things do get a bit shaky, a little bit emotional, a little bit, you know, shaky, for want of another word, I know I can walk out of this relationship. There's no paper holding me there. There's no society issues holding me there that say you're married, so you have to be there. I know I can walk out of this relationship as quick as I walked into it. And he can do the same, mind you, but I know I can walk out of it. Now, knowing that I'm not held here makes me go, do I want to be here or not? And because I am committed to this relationship, my choice is I'm not being held here by a piece of paper, by a marriage certificate. I am being held here because I want to be here. It is my choice. In my marriage, I held that marriage together for as long as I could because we were married and that's what you were supposed to do. So now my relationship is very different. And if I am not emotionally attached and emotionally excited or happy to be in that relationship, I know I can walk if I want to. I choose not to at this stage. And when things get a little bit shaky, I don't want to just run away. That is not me. However, I also know that if I want to, I could. And it just gives you that feeling of power. And it's not power over the other person. It's just an internal power, an internal strength that you've got. So these were the dreams I got. This is the interpretation that I put to receiving the information. And I looked at it as like the shaky ground. So one was shaky on the physical aspect. It wasn't put together properly to start with. The second relationship's been put together better. And it's more about the emotional side of things. If I can hold it together there, well, we can hold the relationship together. And the dream, I have to be honest, the dream ended up quite good. We were in the bedroom, but I'm not going to go any further than that. So it was a positive dream. What I want to talk about today is trusting your intuition when you are on that shaky ground. And I'm sure there's a lot of you that are going through relationship issues and that's what I'll focus on because that's, you know, what the dream was about. So a lot of you would be going through different stages of relationships, breakdowns or even, you know, shaky ground. It doesn't have to be a breakdown. It could be just shaky ground where you just, you know, things get a little bit mixed up and you don't know where you're going and what you're doing. With my relationship, with my past relationship, I was, I am an empath, so I take on people's emotions. I take on people's feelings and tend to put that before mine. So I did that naturally with my ex-husband and he was a narcissist. So that was just perfect for him. You know, we had the perfect match. He could dish up as much crap that he wanted, and I would just take it all on board. So not healthy for me, but that's, you know, what you do with a relationship where you find you've got a gap, you tend to fill it with somebody else instead of filling it yourself. With my marriage breakdown, or with the situation I did, I must admit, it was about 8 years from when I worked on my marriage all the time, but the last 8 years of my marriage was when I remember saying, something's got to change. I'm not happy with this. Now something's got to change. And from those 8 years, I started to look at what could be done to improve the situation. So I really slogged hard at it the last 8 years. But I must admit, I knew I was fighting a losing battle. So, you know, there was things there that were positive, but, you know, I knew I was fighting a losing battle. When it's only one person fighting, you think you would be winning, but no, that doesn't that doesn't work. Anyway, what I will look at, I'm not going to take you right through my marriage breakdown because that's as boring as anything else. What I will do is look at the little steps that I took to help me get through it. The steps I took was back in line with the ask, receive, and respond. So we go back into what your intentions were. So one of the first things I did was I stopped blaming him and took back my power. Now, when I was going through all this, it was easy to say, well, he's an alcoholic, or he's doing this and he's doing that. I can't do anything because he's got all the money. I don't have any money. I can't do this. I can't do that. It was really, really, really easy to do that because, in all honesty, that was the truth. However, every time we blame somebody else, we give them that power. We give them the power over us. That's where we need to be mindful. That's where we need to be careful. So I stopped blaming him and started to focus on my element or what I could do about it. All right, so he had all the money. What could I do about that? How can I take back my power? Well, I got a part-time job. I had to fight to get a part-time job. I had to fight for everything I wanted. But I did that. I got a part-time job. It gave me a little bit of money. Sure, he made me give most of my money over to him to pay bills because I don't know why. Oh, he was losing money on Centrelink, on the dole money because I was getting money in. I had to hand over a lot of my money, but I kept a little bit. I had something, so I stopped blaming him and started to take back my power. In doing that, I then got some experience as a teacher's aide, so that boosted that side of it up. I stopped blaming him for not coming home. I stopped blaming him for not looking after the kids. I started to do it in my own way, under my own side of it. And every time something would happen, I would put my spin on it. In other words, I almost, in a strange way, I almost blamed myself. Because when I blamed myself, there was that element that I had control over. And don't get me wrong, I didn't blame myself for other people's bad behavior, but I could take on board part of that bad behavior. Now, they always say in a car accident, it's never 100% one person's fault. If it's a two-car accident, there's always a percentage of it that belongs to the car that was hit. Now, even if that percentage is as small as, you know, 2%, because that person happened to be on the road. So part of it is her fault or their fault because they were on the road. So that's how the laws look at it. And when we look at it that way, yes, the majority of fault was belonging to him because he was doing all these things. But there was another element that I had control over. So I took back my power. And it's really, really important. So when we start to blame somebody, just think of that little percentage that is your problem, that is your fault, that little percentage, because it's that that gives you the power. That is what gets you going. And that's what can help you. And I know it's small, but it starts to get bigger and bigger as you go along. So as you can imagine, I didn't have any money. Just to take on this part-time role as a teacher's aide enabled me to get a little bit of money. That little bit of money gave me that little bit of power. And that little bit of power could grow bigger and bigger as I went along. So every time you blame somebody, every single time you blame somebody or something, you blame the government, You blame this, you blame that. Every time you are giving away your power. What part of that can you take on board and go, well, you know what? I don't like what the government's doing, but I'm going to be doing this because that can give me back my control. You might not have control over the world or over the country or over the house or over the family, but you've got control over you, and that is all you can really have control over. So stop blaming anything, and start to take back your power. What percentage of that is yours? Now, the next step I did was I learnt more about myself and who I am, right? I would do personality tests, I would get books, I would find out all sorts of things about me. One of the things I did really, really get stuck into was how I felt. Now, this was more about the interactions that we had as a family, as a partner, and I started to acknowledge how I felt. Now, as an empath, you tend to let that go. You feel it, but you tend to sort of just, you get so used to feeling it, you just keep on piling on top of each other. I started to take note on what I felt. When something was said, I acknowledged the feeling. When something was done, I acknowledged the feeling. Now, this happened in a positive and a negative type of way. So when it was a negative situation, I would feel it and I would go, okay, I don't like how he talked to me then. I didn't respond. I didn't acknowledge it. I was still the empath and still took it all on board. But I started to say, I started to acknowledge it, which meant I became aware of it. Now, the other side of it happened too. When he did things for me or when there were some things done that were positive, I acknowledged that as well. Now, sometimes I would acknowledge that externally, but a lot of the times I would acknowledge it internally because I wanted to get a balance of this relationship. It wasn't about trying to find everything wrong in it to move away from it. I was trying to keep my relationship together. So I was looking for a balance in the positive and negative, probably why it took me 8 years to get through it. So as I'm going through this, I'm learning more about myself. How I feel, I'm being very mindful of the words that I use and how those words can turn into reality. If he's using words towards me, so he's saying something to me and I feel that uncomfortableness, I feel pain, I feel belittled, I feel, you know, whatever it is, I had to be mindful of the words I was using to him because tit for tat is not good. So I started to change my words and I stopped saying, oh, I should do this. Should was one of the words I changed. Should, oh, I should do this. Now, when you say the word should, it makes somebody wrong, whether it's you, whether it's somebody else. Every time you say should, it makes somebody wrong. Oh, I should do that. Oh, that's because I haven't done it, so I'm wrong. Start saying the word could or would. But don't say should. If you just drop that should out of your vocabulary, just that will make a big difference. And these are small, small increments. These aren't big things, but they're little things that we start to listen and hear. When I hear somebody say should, then I can hear them. There's often blame in there, or there's often an ego attitude in there, and you can hear it when people start to say it. So as I am being more mindful about my words and what I'm using, I'm also being mindful about what other people are using, especially towards me. Another thing that with the words too is I used to say, oh, I'm sick and tired of this. And you know what? I was always sick and tired. I stopped saying that. I don't get sick and tired anymore. I've got a huge lease on life and I love it, and I am very mindful of what I say and how I say it because of that. So that was number two. Number one, stop blaming. Number two, learn more about yourself and who you are. Now number three is sort of a carry on from number two, learning more about yourself. So step by step I started to gain this personal confidence and understanding. Now, what I did is I started to experiment with things at home. So I would change things up a little bit, move the house around. I did a bit of feng shui, so I learned a little bit of feng shui and how to do that. And it's these subtle changes again. So in number two, I learned more about myself and who I am. So I learned about me. And in step three, I started to learn about the environment. I started to change the environment around me to suit who I was and what I wanted. So I did the feng shui. I started to test a few things. I started to move things around, get ideas from other people. So I took it from a learning to me to a little bit bigger learning. And from there, I started to get books. And I started to look at where I could go and what I did. So where I used to blame everybody and everything, I started to bring the blame back to me, learnt more about me. As I've got a better understanding about me, then I took it out the next step, learnt about the environment, the family, the local, this, and then I took it out further. So in step three, I would get the books. I would, like nowadays, you've got things like podcasts, you know, whereas we only had books in those days. We had very little else to have. I did listen to a lot of cassette tapes in the car. My kids know a lot of those affirmation songs, that, whether they liked it or not. So we'd be driving along going, every day and in every way, I'm getting better and better. Yeah, they used to really annoy me. They were the sort of things that we did to get through. I learnt those sort of things. So they were the little step-by-step changes. As I've sort of got more of those, with the books that I would read, I'd take on board what I would like, what suited me, and let the rest go. When you're reading a book, when you're getting any of these self-help books, take on board what you want. You don't have to do the whole lot. You know, somebody will write a book. I mean, I've written a book. This is what I saw. This is how I did it. It doesn't mean it's right for you, but there might be elements in it that suit you. It's like the podcast. It doesn't mean it's all right for you. It just means there might be elements in there that suit you, that can help you. And there's things that you will take on board now, and there's things that you'll have to listen and hear three or four times before you will take them on board. And that's okay too. I know I did. So that's fine. So we got to step three, and I started to really gain a lot more confidence and a lot more understanding, and I started to move things around at home. I started to experiment a little bit more. My body changed. I actually physically grew. I didn't really physically grow, but I stood up straighter. I started to get this appearance. One of the books I got was about how to stand up against the wall and do this breathing exercise, and it just gave you your posture back. And as you've got your posture back, you also got your confidence as well. So all these little things that started moving and changing. Number four, what I've got down for number four, is when I started to test these theories. Now, I mean really test these theories, not just go, see if that works. I really tested these theories. There was one particular one, a book, and I'm sorry, I've forgotten what the author's name is, or who the author is, but it was called Dance with Anger. And that was one of my very first tests. And this was about how when you get into an argument, you end up like almost dancing around. Now, the strongest one will start the argument in one place and create that argument to dance, 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 and take it away from where it was and take it to somewhere else. Now, let me explain that a little bit more. One of my touch points, one of my trigger points, was when I was told I was a bad mother or that I couldn't keep the house tidy or anything to do with parenting. When he used to have a go at me about parenting, and that was my world. I had three kids in 3 years, and parenting was my world. I even was nominated for Australian Citizen of the Year in our area because of my work with the local children's community. So parenting was my world. When he would have a go at me about that, it was a real trigger. So what he would do was he would often start an argument in one place and then take it to there. And this is where we would dance with this anger. So one day he came home and there was dust on the microwave, and he just went off the trolley about this dust on the microwave. The argument went along the lines of, well, you know, you can't keep the house clean. And I went, okay, you've got dust on the microwave. I got the cloth. I wiped the dust off. Dust is gone. No, it's not about the dust. It's about dot, dot, dot. I said, no, you are arguing and you are upset because there was dust on the microwave. And instead of letting him take this dance of anger, this anger to wherever he wanted to go and lead this dance, I made him come back to what the initial original problem was, which was dust on the microwave. And he would go, oh, no, you can't even keep the house clean. No, there was dust on the microwave. That's what we're arguing about. This argument that's been going on for half an hour is about dust on the microwave, which is no longer there because it's cleaned off. What else is the problem? If it's not the dust on the microwave, what is the issue? Oh, well, you can't keep the house proper. Well, okay, that's fine. But then let's go back to the dust on the microwave. Now that's clean. Are you happy now? Will you settle down now? And I made him stop arguing because I kept on taking it back to something that he was arguing about that was no longer relevant. It was no longer there. And this is what this dance with anger was all about. Oh, it was a terrific book. Get it if you can. But these were some of the theories that I tested. Another one was creative visualization by Shakti Gwan. And that was where you actually created your own future. And that is a full story on its own. And that was amazing. I went from, in a 6-month period with this visualization, I went from a sort of a old farmhouse to $85,000 in those days, which was in the 90s. $85,000, it was nearly a write-off to bring this farmhouse back to its former glory because we lost the roof. But that's an amazing story. That is when you start to put these little theories into place. So that is what asking, receiving and responding is all about. That's what our intention is, how we interpret it and how we interact with it. So I was having trouble with relationship, actually with the house. When I was testing this theory for visualization, I put the intention out sort of going, okay, well, if this is true, if I can just think about something and think about it often enough and create it in my mind, then I'm going to receive it. I want to actually put that into action. I want to see if this works. So I started asking, I put the intention out, I want this, this is how I want it, this is what I want to look like. And I really got stuck into this intention. Now, okay, as I said, 6 months of this intention. The interpretation was receiving it. We lost our roof in a huge storm. Now, if you can imagine, that for anybody would be absolutely devastating. For me, within a couple of hours of losing the roof, or what was it the next morning? Within a couple of hours of losing the roof, their local paper had come around to take photos. And one of the things he said to me, that the guy taking the photos, he said, could you stop smiling? And I said, well, we've just found out that, you know, the house is insured. It's new for old. Basically, we're going to have a new house. How can I stop smiling? So the way I received this information was very physical, losing the roof, and the response was just, I was elated. It was frightening at the time, but oh my goodness, it was such a great way to do it. So when we start to look at how we can go through our marriage or our shaky ground that we're on, the first thing is to ask. So even if it's asking, what step do I need to take now? Unless your life is in danger, then you need to be a lot, don't just listen to this podcast, please go and get help. But if your marriage is on shaky ground, just say, ask, go to bed tonight and go, okay, give me a sign, give me an understanding. What step do I need to take now? Because it's all about the small steps that we take. It's all about those little things that we do that we keep on growing and developing on. So the whole thing about this, the whole takeaway from this is it is about one step at a time, one question at a time, and maybe getting that answer, receive that answer, interpret it, and do something with it, you know, actually respond to it. Yeah, this is all about understanding where you're up to in this shaky ground. Stop blaming. Look at who you are. Start to gain that confidence from understanding who you are and start to put in those subtle changes within you, and then start to put those changes in externally of you and let that grow. So you're getting that information because you're learning about who you are. You're starting to you're starting to understand it, interpret it by testing it out in a little bit around you, by changing how you think, by stop using the word should, you know, these sort of things. And then your interactions is you're taking it a little bit further out. You're taking it further into the environment, into the relationship, you know, just stepping it out. So that's how we trust our intuition. So each time we're asking and we're receiving and we're acknowledging it, we're going through it all constantly, one little step at a time. And it's not about asking, will this marriage work? No, that's not what it's all about. It's because your intention in asking a question like that is already no. That's your intention because you need to ask that. If you turned around and said, I'm really happy in my marriage, if you were really happy in your marriage, that was not a question you would be asking. So learn about yourself. Get an understanding. Stop blaming them or the other person. Get an understanding on who you are. Make those subtle changes within. Take those changes without on the out. So that's all about this podcast. If you want more understandings or tools for trusting your intuition, subscribe to the podcast, follow me on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter, or jump onto the website intuitivenature.com.au and check out the blogs and free resources. I also have a Facebook group called Emotional Mastery. If you want to join that, just ask. That's all good. And I am looking at doing intuitive mentoring. I'm starting to get a lot of people wanting this. And it is going to be called, I've got a special name for it. It's going to be all put out there, actually, in a couple of weeks' time. I'm on holidays for 2 weeks, so it's going to be put out in a couple of weeks' time. It's about intuitive mentoring, so especially designed for those who are going through major changes in their lives and they're just stuck with direction and clarity. You know, they don't necessarily know what their purpose is in life, or their purpose is just all over the place. They've got no understanding of it. They're lacking direction, lacking clarity. Intuitive mentoring helps you get through it step by step. So I sort of look at it as like I take all your skills, because this is going to be one-on-one. I'm going to do group work, but this will be one-on-one. But I'm going to take all your life skills and all your experiences and all your knowledge, all the stuff that I've known, which is what I've done. You're going to take all of your stuff, and we're going to put it into a pot, mix it all up. We're going to add a bit of some seeds of love, and then we're going to stand by and we're going to watch you grow and blossom, prosper into what it is you want to be. So it's all about getting your understandings and really growing them. So that is going to be released all in a couple of weeks' time. So although if you're listening to this podcast in 2021, it's already done. So remember, we are all naturally intuitive. It is part of human nature. It's our intuitive nature. I am Susan Jane, the intuitist from Intuitive Nature, and I thank you so much for listening. Have the best day ever. Bye for now.